Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com.
You know, it was about 5 or 6 years when we first connected with Seattle, 5 or 6 years ago with Dean Haglund, of course, who then went off to Australia and then came back to the United States, but is now resident in Chicago. It's good to know then that Alina Flart is back with us again, and rightly so. Alina, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Well, I mean, given the current situation, we're still here. We're coping with blended learning. We're looking at new programs and so on. We've talked with lots of correspondents over the last few weeks about what the situation is in the United States and so on. I gather your president is now taking credit for 82% of the work that Barack Obama has actually done. So that's nice. How's it from your own perspective in Seattle?
If possible, it's even more disheartening than I'm sure it is internationally. It's having your country's leader be a laughingstock does really take a toll on your optimism, but.
Yeah, listen, we can't comment. We've got a mini Trump here. So, you know, I'm sure it's a, I mean, going on the line to Poppy. Welcome back, Poppy, our second one today. Genius stuff.
Thank you.
I mean, virtue philosophy. Can't necessarily see that the lines that we were talking about this morning would have applied to any of those two world leaders, or can you? Can we see something in them that actually you want to say, yes, I'd really like to take that aspect and develop my moral philosophies?
I can't say I'm tempted on a surface level to do that. I don't think any of what they are doing is entirely virtuous, so I don't think Aristotle would be happy with their behavior, to be honest, and so yeah. Neither am I.
There you have it, Alina. Aristotle would not be happy with the behavior of the United States of America. If this is going to the CIA, they've heard it here. It's an open kuzu. There we are. A message is there. Perhaps Joe Biden could actually use that as a campaign tag, really, to work through that. Of course, looking ahead, we are just a matter of months before, of course, the presidential elections, which may or may not take place. I think they probably will have to take place because of the legal requirements of the Constitution and so on. And let's assume Joe Biden does actually take office. Is that something you're looking forward to? Do you think that's great? Or you think, no, he's going to have to work with the likes of Bolsonaro in Brazil and Boris Johnson, and what's going to happen there?
Well, internationally, you can still definitely look at some leaders that you wish might get voted out of office. However, I will be thrilled if Trump is no longer president.
At the end of the last election in 2016, of course, I did actually have the greeting on the Midweek Drive for those people who are working in the White House, Das Verdanya. Clearly, there was a suggestion that maybe Vlad the Lad, as I like to refer to him, Vladimir Putin, has sort of an influential package on that. Is that still in the current debate that actually,
absolutely, as well as now also India and also China and also our own president, because a lot of the ballots are going to be mailed in. So the United States Postal Service is super essential, and it's just had its leader replaced by a Trump crony. So look out for all sorts of voter fraud.
I mean,
not done by the voters, but gosh,
it's great for movies and so on. I mean, clearly we have Dominic Cummings, who kind of is very fond of Cambridge Analytica, of course, which has now changed its name. So that's okay then. We did a piece with a couple of colleagues over in Melbourne, Australia, and we're writing about a correspondent writer for the Observer newspaper who said that the biggest thing that we need to be aware of is not necessarily COVID, it's not necessarily global warming, but it's actually Facebook, which is a country in itself. How do you relate to Mark Zuckerberg in all of this? I mean, do you think, yeah, he is our secret leader at the end of the day?
Oh man, that's a hard one. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. We've all seen the video of him. We wouldn't put it past him being our secret leader, but I think him and Bezos together are the ones that are the most concerning.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I got to admit, I do use that South American river, which begins with an A and ends in an N, that Jeff Bezos is pretty much responsible for. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, it is one of those things. I mean, Poppy, do you use that online deliverer as well?
Too much. Jeff Bezos is taking all of my money at the moment. So, but that's on me. That's not his fault.
Having said that, I was interested to find some of the training videos that employees for Amazon are actually faced with. And apparently, if any employee is actually suspected of seeing a union matter or any kind of union line whatsoever, they are encouraged actively to report said individual and effectively call them out for even attempting to form a union from that point of view, which I think is quite interesting. So it's nice to see that democracy is I mean, the sad thing, of course, Alina, and we will move away from this onto more fun things in a few moments, because two fine graduates here from that point of view, one off to Swaziland, one off to Northumbria. It's one and the same in many ways, Poppy. But there is this line that, certainly from my own point of view, I used to always be a big advocate for American democracy and American politics. I always felt it was like the least worst system. It was really an essential thing. I now find myself in a situation, not necessarily in one's twilight years, but in sort of one's latter sort of time, where I'm thinking, actually, I have zero respect for either the American presidency or indeed the British premiership as well. And I think that's really sad. I mean, I mean, Alina, what are your kind of views of your mum, your dad, your parents, and so on this?
Yeah, I mean, so I was a history major, right? So growing up, I didn't have any friends. I just had presidents to keep me company. Go. So I definitely grew up with a sort of a hero worship of past American politicians and... I mean, I had First Lady paper dolls. That's the level we're talking right now.
Wow.
So there's a real...
Are we talking Hillary Clinton here as First Lady or Michelle Obama?
I did
Obama?
Actually have Hillary Clinton. It went up to Bush because it was when I was little, but it went up to Bush.
And a Barbara Bush doll as well? Did you have a Barbara Bush doll?
No, only the women. I was only interested in the dresses.
Yeah.
But there was definitely a death of idealism with Trump's election. And I think that is really... It is just, it's quite sad. I think that big money has really just kind of wrecked our electorate system because there are no caps on all this spending. It is sad.
Yeah, I mean, I actually teach on an American Studies program at the University of Lincoln, and we talk about radiant development of that. And certainly one of the areas within the field of American politics is, look, in some ways you've been there before because Richard Nixon was not necessarily the most honest individual that we'd actually had. The Bush family, both George Bush and George Bush Jr., kind of had their moments. Ronald Reagan, one was never quite sure where he was going with respect to that. But even as I say at this stage, I think that what you've got with respect to Mr. Trump, who actually, I found out recently, Trump is the name of the villain in the first ever 1960s episode of the series Green Hornet, which I thought was quite interesting. Obviously, the Trump family actually bleeping in at this particular moment in time. But even on that sort of scale, I feel as though you kind of got a president who's almost gone off the scale now in terms of the lines that he sort of comes together and in terms of his, Thailand was his latest sort of malapropism in terms of his way forward. The odd one you'd think occasionally, but, one would have thought that maybe he would have actually had advisors to have possibly sort of addressed that whole thing and so on. So, it's a different line, but
yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Poppy, any thoughts from yourself, or is it a case of, well, thank heaven we've actually got Boris Johnson in office here?
I don't think he's done as badly as he could have done. Definitely think that there are worse things that could have happened. I also think that there are better things that could have been done, but I mean, I'm not a politician, so I don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
The front cover of the recent edition of Private Eye, Rishi in massive giveaway. I'll hold it up to the actual screen. That he's looking to save everybody's job, except of course, dear old Boris is there. So political satire is there, and of course, it is a very fruitful time for political satire to actually take place. It's going to be interesting time, certainly. I think, Alina, in terms of ways forward, are you getting more and more anxious to say, I want to get to Swaziland as soon as possible?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about how it's like a privilege to live, to be able to continue living in the country you were born in and not have to immigrate. So the fact that my thought process has gone that way, maybe I'll be back to the UK before a poppy green card marriage, right? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I have noticed actually that the local media have been carrying campaigns in the Evening Gazette and such like, saying, what's missing in Stokesley these days? Something is missing in Stokesley. And I think it's the flart factor that basically
has not.
Yeah.
We've felt the loss. We really have. Yeah. Everyone's devastated.
Which, of course, has meant that from your own point of view, of course, Poppy, you're heading off to go radio silent for a couple of weeks into an area of the land which is even more bizarre than Wales, because you're heading up to Northumbria. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're going just by the borders.
Yeah.
So there'll be no signal and no Wi-Fi. And
well,
a lot of family time.
I'll say it now, and it also went live this morning when I actually posted it, that Robin Pearce will, of course, be devastated that you're missing the next couple of exciting lines of Resonance Rewind. But I'm thinking, actually, I can't, because actually during the week, Alina, you work, of course. So if I said, well, come along and join us 5:30 on a UK time for Resonance Rewind, and actually put another American perspective on the delights of the time tunnel, you're going to say, I'm a nanny. You know, I can't do things like this. You know, I'm on a Saturday. So it's there. Done deal. How is the nannying going?
Well, yesterday I was doing dishes and he was really quiet. So I turned the corner and he is poised with his kitty scissors about to cut the hair of the cat. So
his
I would say
kitty scissors.
How it's going. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
The task keeping has never been as narrowly avoided as it was in that minute.
I mean, once again, you know, you can tell you catastrophe, genius. I mean, just there. She just rolls those puns off left, right, and centre. It's relentless. Yeah, this is why Poppy was so keen to actually get you on the show. She said, yeah, fine, catastrophe.
You'll never hear puns like it. Yeah. It's invaluable resource. Yeah,
exactly. Moving on from that point of view. So you've averted the catastrophe of the kitty scissors and the cat hair from that point. I mean, was there a response? I mean, did you say something such as, well, what were you thinking? Or was it a case of, you know, that's far too complex a concept to actually sort of address? What about, no, that's not right, kitty would not like it?
I had to explain to him that his cat would get an owie if he cut its hair with his scissors, and he started crying, and then he tried to cut my hair out of anger. That was also avoided, but you know, it's keeping me on my toes at least.
I mean, not that I want to worry you, but this seems as though you've actually got a potential psychotic individual developing in that side of things there. And if you're going to say his favourite movie is Child's Play, then I'm going to get even more concerned, really, in terms of, you know, what's happening in this sort of... He doesn't have a doll called Chucky, does he, by any chance?
I think all toddlers are potential psychopaths. That's the... Yeah. Across the board, yeah.
Parenting is just making sure that doesn't happen. That's the whole point of it.
Tamper that down.
Yeah. So is he 2 years? Is he 2 years old? Is it the terrible twos, or is he two? Right. When obviously, as Dr. Spock would actually say in his child development, and indeed Piaget, the well-known Swiss psychologist, of course, I mentioned Swiss psychologist because of your Swiss background, Alina, that Piaget would say he's in the developmental stage. He's in the sort of developmental stages of that. Although Piaget just experimented at his own children, so who knows what validity he actually has in terms of a child sort of care at these particular days. You know, it's a different line entirely. There we are. That's Piaget. As many people will actually say, what did he actually write? Very little. Mind you, neither did Jesus. Oh, there you go. Other people wrote it for him. Poppy, what are you doing to prepare for Northumbria? And would you be able to actually hold yourself back from going to St. Andrews? You know, going that full hog? Or would it be a case of, no, I'm going to stay within that sort of Northumbrian area?
I know it's going to be tough, because it's the same road that I drove up to get to St. Andrews. So to stop halfway is going to really be a tough one. But I think I'll manage. I think I'll be okay.
Having said that, you could be pioneering, because obviously when Scotland declares independence, you'll obviously sort of have to stop halfway then, effectively, and we're just left with England, really, from that point of view. Maybe a bit of Wales. We don't know. Optimistic sorts from that point of view. We haven't been joined by Eva McDonald, but she is doing an abseil. So I'm going to ask the question to both of you. What's the most spectacular or most exciting thing you've actually done for charity? Or is it a case of that's still in the planning stages? Alina, is it a case of I, for charity, look after psychotic two-year-olds.
Well, I think the most, maybe the most funny thing I ever did was I ran a bra drive for a school in Kenya, and I called it Support Kenya.
Genius. Do you see the puns coming out there yet again? I feel as though if you joined us a week or so ago when we were talking about the scandal that was Bragate, where Grimsby Town Football Club ensured that stewards would actually check bras for potential sort of weapons that would be contained therein, it made the stories in the headlines a wee while ago, then that could have been another whole line that could have been, you know, taken to extremes, really. It's actually one of my students who actually managed to solve the mystery of Bragate, but there we are. That's by the by. Poppy, what about yourself?
You know, I apart from just some stalls here and there with school and raising money collectively as groups with, you know, school classes, I don't think I've ever done anything crazy for charity. But
abseiling down a skyscraper, it's not necessarily on the horizon at this stage.
It's not in my top five of things I want to do in the next few months, but, you know, I'll see what I can do.
And one could quite rightly say, look, if Eva McDonald was such a great abseiler, why can't she get on time to do one of these Zoom calls? You know, I'm just putting that out there. You know, it's there. Doubtless she'll return. Alina, as time sort of moves on from that sort of point of view, is the prognosis good, do you think, for America? I mean, we talked about the election, we talked about various other bits and pieces. We hear today that actually Disney, and let's face it, I always like to use the Disney company as what's really happening in America, because I think it kind of echoes the whole world view, given that it runs Star Wars and the Marvel Universes as well. They've announced that Mulan is not going to get a theatrical release, that effectively it's going to go on stream. I've had film critics here said, oh, it's all over, etc. My solution is quite simple. For the few cinemas that are actually open, if you wish to go there to see a movie, we'll just increase the tickets for that person to like £5,000 a ticket. And therefore, you know, you cover the costs of, you know, the numbers that would have actually gone in a kind of pre-COVID day. So that's all. The rest of us can stay safe and watch the things online. But what are your thoughts as a consumer, and actually not too far away on the West Coast from, of course, that whole dream factory of productions and so on?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely difficult. I think that health concerns aside, that this won't be something that fades easily. I think that is really a cherished thing, getting to go. It's communal. And even with all this technology, I think that we still look for a lot of communal activities. I mean, we have book clubs. For the most, one of the most solitary activities is reading, and we make it communal with book clubs. So I think that health things aside, that cinemas will still be popular. I just look forward to when that can be the solution again.
So the ultimate question now, of course, and I have to say, I mean, I don't know, probably, if you're familiar with the Showcase Cinema in Teesside, but they did actually sort of set out some wonderful luxurious seating, which I was very impressed with. So they were ahead of the game.
Oh, it's so good. It's beautiful. It's like sitting on a sofa. Yeah, I miss it.
I mean, the biggest shock, of course, when I realised you press one button, you actually see that it moves you back again and moves you forward. It's extraordinary. But still, I mean, you can forget the movie. You just actually sort of move your chair up and down on that basis. Very impressive. But now I'm going to ask the question, what was the last cinematic movie you saw? And can you remember the title? I'll go first. Mine was actually A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood with Tom Hanks. Ironic in many ways. But, you know, there you go. Alina, your last movie. Or was it a case of living with the booths? It was a movie in itself. It was like a living reality TV show on the big screen.
Well, that was true in and of itself. However, last movie in cinemas, I think Poppy may know better than I do what movie I saw last, but it was either Little Women or Frozen 2.
Yeah, I think mine was Frozen 2. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
simpler times.
As we frequently say with respect to the Republican Party, let it go, let it go, let it go. Okie dokie. Well, I mean, in many ways, I feel we've done more for transatlantic special relationships here, thanks to Poppy and yourself, Alina, than probably politicians have done in years. So we'll continue this thing going. There is actually a show that goes out on Siren, which features my colleague Andrew David. He calls it American Cousins. I always felt that was not the right title, because that was the play that Lincoln saw the night he was shot. So, you know, on that sort of basis, I figure that it was a bit of a downer on that sort of basis. So, you know, step away from that. You can let him know quietly that that's not the best title for a sort of transatlantic link. But I'm going to throw those two questions at you in any case. Alina Flott, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the midweek drive today?
A stunningly interesting talk. Stunningly interesting. Highlight of my week easily. Well,
there you go. And allowing, of course, for the fact that people might well say, hang on, isn't it Saturday? Yes, but the midweek drive is like transcendental. It kind of transcends time. You know, yes, it might be going out on a Wednesday evening and stuff, but, you know, apart from that, it's transcendental. It's there across that sort of basis. Poppy, what about yourself? Has it worked for yourself?
Oh, it's been excellent. Yeah, very good. I don't think I can top Alina's excitement, but I'll try my best. It was very good.
You got psychotic two-year-olds. You've got, you know, bra fundraising activities. You've got, she's on a roll, clearly.
Yeah, but, you know,
that's part of the whole thing.
Can never beat that.
Well, I don't know. Northumbria could actually inspire you to raise a whole range of things, though. I mean, it's a bit like artists who go off to the wilderness, you know, and indeed philosophers. They go into that wilderness and they come back fused and filled with passion and areas to sort of work through. And, you know, you'll be back by the end of August, no doubt. So that's all good. So that's, unless, of course, you don't get out of Northumbria and they lock down the entire sort of area. I mean, let's face it, Britain these days, Preston, Blackburn, Leicester, there are all sorts of areas that could have mini lockdowns. Our Prime Minister talking about a ring of steel around London with the M25. It's all fun in many ways. So hopefully we'll be back, or at least get an area which has decent broadband. Alina, will you be kind enough to... Do you fancy doing another stint next week, Alina, in Poppy's absence?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, then, I don't know how I'll continue without Poppy, but I'll try my best.
It is tough, but there has been a time, and I recall that actually was probably any time before April this year when even Southside Broadcasting was populous. Now she's becoming like an intrinsic part of the whole thing.
Yeah. The dark time.
Exactly. So let's work through that. So Alina will return and Poppy will return. Happy trails for now. And let's hope that the good fortune continues. And Alina, please look out for those kitty scissors.
The snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm me anyway. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No light, no road, no rules for me.
through the wondrous nature of the internet thing, it seems that people actually take holidays these days. I know, it's amazing. I'm equally shocked. And accordingly, Tessa's tune of the week is kind of going to go into a different cyberspace zone, because Tessa's going to be, reveal, spoiler alert, etc., somewhere in Wales. I know, shocking horror. Anyway, Tessa, whilst you're in Wales, which clearly, as Robin Pierce would attest to, has virtually no means of contacting the Western world in any way, shape or form, so you know, let's just step away with that. What have we got for your first tune of the week on this fabulous day, which, as far as I can recall, as far as the Siren Radio is listeners is concerned, will be Wednesday the 19th of August.
Gosh, thinking ahead, aren't we? So, yeah, this track of the week, this is by an artist called Merv Pinney. He's a country rocker, and he's from New Zealand. And he actually features on the latest episode of Country in the Kitchen, and he's got a really, really interesting story behind him. He was actually a dairy farmer, and he used to perform with his brothers in a band way back when, while, you know, doing work on the farm. So he has a really interesting background. And this particular song is simply titled I, and it was written basically, again, you might have realised over the past, gosh, 3 or 4 weeks, I've chosen songs relatable to lockdown. And this is another one. But again, it's got quite a positive message behind it. It's upbeat. And it's just about keeping positive. But I thought, why not add a little bit of rock into the mix? You know, country crosses over a bit. And he's got ties, you know, to the countryside as well. So I actually can't wait to hear what Robin thinks of this one. I think it's going to be up his street, more up his street. And Merv as well, as an artist, he covers in his music and songwriting a lot of heavy topics, mental health, war, social media, children in crisis. He cares a lot about the world and the planet. A really, really lovely guy. So yes, this one is called I.
I'm not afraid to die.
And there we have it, I doing its unique stuff in its own unique way. I wonder if we'd have actually considered actually calling it I Bovine, like I Claudius, you know, I Bovine would have been a worthwhile one. Another relentlessly upbeat number, Tess, but why are we going down for the misery? What about the kind of the lockdown tragedy? The guy who's in lockdown and might have a relationship breakdown, his pets died, you know, kind of classic country music. Where are all those?
I need to find a sad tune, don't I? I do.
Not necessarily, but, you know, it's just a thought. I mean, if we're keeping our Robin happy, that's all we're saying, really. We're keeping Robin happy.
Well, you know, music, the power of music, it kind of helps us all through. And I guess a lot of the artists have thought, well, we might as well use our time wisely and write some positive tracks for people to listen to.
What music have you been listening to over the last few months which you might not have even considered listening to before?
Oh, my goodness. Gosh, that's so hard because I listen to a whole range. I mean, I guess doing what I do, I get a lot of independent artists emailing me and messaging me with tracks. So, of course, I listen to a whole range. One that springs to mind, which, again, we've played as track of the week, is Hallie Kearns' Pick Me Up. I mean, that's a brilliant one, another positive one. Funnily enough, I've been doing some work experience while I've been on furlough for a music PR company, and they've introduced me to a whole range, again, like Merv, he's more rock, to a whole range of artists, you know, reggae, jazz, the list is endless. It's really hard to list every single one, but yeah, I mean, you know, Alex, country is kind of my thing, but I love all genres. And another lady, actually, and I'm sure she was big in the 80s, kind of like Whitney Houston. I think her name is Joyce Sims. So she does a lot of soul. I really like her stuff as well at the moment. So yeah, yeah.
But we're yet to see Tessa Snarts take those snaps or even steps into electropop of the 80s there.
Well, you know, I mean, I love a bit of the 80s. I don't mind 80s. I like the pop. I like the colour, the big hair, the big shoulder pads. I think it was a great era. I kind of wish I could have been born or a teen in the 80s. I would have loved that.
Well, there's always time travel, Tess. And until next time, we will say happy trails, happy zooming, and hopefully you're not too scared by the sheep in Wales.
Oh, no, I've been before, so it's fine.